So the last conference we speak about the oblates, see, and also about the our projects, our future, what to expect, what to do as oblates, as a Benedictine, huh? Because we have a ceremony of perpetual oblation right after the conference. See? We will put it just today. So we have the Blessed Sacrament with us, so that has to be after the conference, the oblation. In order to have a witness, the Blessed Sacrament as a witness. So first I want to remind you, what is to be oblate of Saint Benedict, and the order of Saint Benedict. Well, we start by saying that Saint Benedict was born in the 5th century. He was born in 480 and he died on 542, in the 6th century. He lived in the midst of the barbarian invasions. So it was a chaos, a disorder everywhere. So what the Roman Empire was being dissolved. And these barbarians were passing through the whole old Roman Empire and sacking and burning cities and putting into fear all the people, no? Continually. So Saint Benedict was placed in this context, in the context of being surrounded by barbarians. The barbarians were very often Catholics, but they were without doctrine, without piety, without prayers, and without many things to practice the Catholic religion. So Saint Benedict is known for having the knowledge of all the fathers of the desert, all the Old Testament, the spirit of the fathers of the Old Testament even. He knew all the rules of the fathers of the desert and the former monastic life of the Egypt and the West and St. Columbanus, St. Patrick. He knew all of those things. But you have to remember that the great quality of the Roman Empire was a patriarchal structure. Means in the Roman Empire, the main structure was to surround their families around a patriarch, so a leader of the families, of the dynasties. And so the main quality which made Rome very strong was to be governed as a family in such a way that after generations they have the same family name, the same traditions, the same strength, because the family was never weakened, because they were growing, marrying themselves and being strong enough always to defend themselves and in castles and in big territories. So this structure, this characteristic of being a family, the strength of the Romans, was incorporated by Saint Benedict to society, to the monasticism. See? So, the Cenobite life means the life in family, a monastic life in a family, in a community, was never as strong as when Saint Benedict comes. So he comes to give it the strength to a cenobio. A cenobio is a family following a rule of monks. So Saint Benedict incorporated all the wisdom of the New Testament, the Old Testament, the fathers of the desert, and the strength of the Romans as a family to check the rule of Saint Benedict. And in the midst of barbarians, so the most difficult people to teach and to dominate, to educate and to indoctrinate, you know, to give doctrine. So in the mind of Saint Benedict, he wanted to incorporate all kinds of people to his monasteries. If you investigate history, 80% of towns and cities of in Europe were built around a monastery. a Benedictine Monastery. So as you in the mind of Saint Benedict, the monks has to be like that light, that source of doctrine and grace of Christianity for all families and peasants and workers and artists and teachers. So in the mind of Saint Benedict, everybody should be united somehow to a monastery. As a matter of fact, that it happened like that, this is why Saint Benedict is the patron of Europe. Because thanks to him, was civilized Christianity, was brought about Christianity in Europe. And at least 80% of towns were built around a monastery. Okay. So what happened? So the monks will come in the wilderness. They start teaching catechism, teaching our Lord Jesus Christ, giving the teachings of the church through the priesthood, through the prayer or the holy rule of Saint Benedict. So people will work next to the monastery, will study next to the monastery, will perform arts or be associated to the monastery in order to win from the monastery wisdom, doctrine, have work, have jobs, to learn how to pray, to learn how to perform acts of charity. So it was a civilization in all senses, a monastery. It's why we say that is the solution for today's crisis, is a monastery, or the monastery of Saint Benedict, because it's to convert at the level of communities, at the level of families, at the level of society, to convert people. Whereas missionary work is to convert firstly at the individual level. You see the difference? And facts convert at the level of families, communities. Because the Holy Rule is for that. To impregnate, to invite, to associate all the families to work under a rule as a community. And this is why Saint Benedict in the Holy Rule invites even children to become oblates. So he said that the parents has to make a promise that the child will have nothing in the world, so that he will not be tempted in the future to go back to the world because he has something left by the parents. So they have to sign even a promise that the child will be just a monk, unless he will change his mind, but he will start from zero, no? But at least he will not have the temptation to go back to the world just because the riches or the pleasures or the possessions, no? So that is how the Oblates were born. Oblates, Saint Benedict in the Holy Rule wanted people to have the benefits of a monastery life. To receive all the influence of how to run a family, for example. A family will be interested, whole families will be interesting to be close to the monastery to receive education, formation, sacraments, books, and to work, to have work, jobs. Because the monks es ore labora. So praying and never stop working, monks. So monks work always. And with the hands, so that means farming, raising animals, and working art, works of art, books, so all kind of art crafts, no, workshops, carpentry, all things, all kind of works, manual work. So people were interested, families were interested in living nearby the monastery. So, it is precisely the idea of you being oblates, that you will have the benefit of the prayers and the example, and to be part of a family, which is the biggest family in the Catholic Church, of religious family. 57,000 saints in the martyrology for the Benedictine Order. So an average of 40 saints by year, average. Of course, it's mainly because the martyrs, many martyrs in Europe, in Ireland, in England, whole monasteries were put to death, no? even during the barbarians, we know there are many monasteries or monks who die, you know, because they start preaching before settling the monastery, or during the settling of the monastery, they will preach around the neighbors, inviting them for the catechism classes. So the idea of Saint Benedict and the Church supporting Saint Benedict's holy rule, being approved, being even declared from the Holy Ghost for by four, five popes. So approve all the oblates, the rules of all the oblates, which basically means that oblates part of the Benedictine family, trying to apply the rule, holy rule, the best they can, without neglecting their duties of a state, their family, their house, their jobs, their families, their children, their wife, if you have a wife. But trying to follow the rule, the best of you can, without oblating under pain of sin. Okay? Doesn't oblate under pain of sin, the oblates, rules, under your duties of as an oblate. If you don't do your duties as oblate, you don't commit a sin. Okay? You have to know that. O sea, it's a contract of love between you as a Benedict, basically. Saying, I want you as my father. You will pray for me, you will help me, you will teach me. I will start to learn and to apply to my life your teachings. I will honor you as a father, and you will help me as your child. It's a contract of love. It's nothing, I will say, artificial or from the pure letter. Many people think that to become oblate is just could be a formality. No, it's so much from the heart that you want to become oblate that you don't want to be oblate anymore. You just tell the priest, I don't want to be, and you anymore you can be out of the order, no, without too much protocol. That is like that. But I always encourage people to become oblates if they are of good reputation, of course, because if they want really to strive after perfection and to be faithful. Why? Because Our Lady of Fatima opened hell to the children in real time. And she told the children, look how many souls go to hell because there is no one to pray and do sacrifices for them. So she's reminding us that we need someone to be praying for us. So when you become oblate, you automatically have a family in heaven, especially in heaven, also on earth, and purgatory also, Benedictines who will be praying for you. It's an obligation, it's a duty of praying for you, because the fourth commandment. People forget that the fourth commandment had to honor your parents and to help your children. That still applies in heaven, that commandment. So in heaven, of course, our Lord honors Our Lady, Saint Joseph. And we will honor Saint Benedict. And in heaven, Saint Thomas says, for example, the parents who had already died, God let them see in heaven, in the beatific vision, how the children are doing on earth. So that they will be still praying and helping them from heaven, for the children. So when they see that you are members of the family, these Benedictines in heaven, even if you do not help, they will be praying for you. Because it's the fourth commandment. They are my brothers, my sisters, my children, of Saint Benedict, or Benedictines. So it's a great way of winning many prayers and help from heaven. No? So you win also the many privileges as an oblate. So you are part of the family. Therefore, wherever there is a monastery, Benedictine monastery, you have the right to be there, to go, to be, to to have a room to follow the rule of the monks, to behave, to be treated as a monk, even to eat, to pray, to sleep like the monks in the monastery, as much as you want. You don't have to live forever, or you don't have to stay there. Just as an oblate, you can. You know, I have vacations. I got 2 weeks. Yes, you can come. Supposedly, it has to be in any monastery, no, in the world. No? Of course, when in crisis, no, we don't come. It's why we speak about that now. But so in normal times, you will be able to treat any monastery as your family. So you will enter as in home. And you will be able to wear the habit as a monk, being oblate. Even if you are married, because inside the monastery is your religious environment, so you can wear the external dressing, yes, clothing of a monk. Another privilege is that when you die, you can be clothed with the your deathbed, or and also in your coffin with the Benedictine habit. No? Also, you receive many indulgences. No? Is the order with more indulgences in the Catholic Church, because the 15 centuries of being around. Also, your main apostolate is the Medal of Saint Benedict. You have to know that. So you have to know everything about the medal. The miracles, the meaning of the letters at the back, at the front, the exorcism letters. And yes, to have medals somehow in your pockets, bless, you have to do that still, but for the future, you know that. To propagate the medal, no? A means of devotion to Saint Benedict and to help people, especially today, some of the diabolical times, is the main sacramental with exorcism in the Catholic Church, the Medal of St. Benedict. More easier to use than holy water, for example, than holy oil. Because you know, there are liquids, they can be evaporated, they can be lost, they cannot be carried easily, you know. They cannot be on the neck, holy water on the neck, you know, holding, but you know, it's not practical. So I will say the number one sacramental for exorcisms is the Medal of St. Benedict, to protect you against... Not only against devils, but also against witchcraft, but also against accidents, thunderstorms, earthquakes, against the serpents, against poison in food, against scorpions, against sudden death, even that kind of thing. No? So there are many benefits of the Medal of St. Benedict. We usually attach to the scapula, somehow at the back, or your scapula of the Mount Carmel, that we wear also, no, in us. We just saw it, the Medal of St. Benedict, with the scapula. Yes, exactly. So, in such a way that we try to have it, you know, as a devotion also with us. So there are promises to St. Benedict. God gave promise to St. Benedict. One of the promises is the following. He who dies in the order of St. Benedict, as a part of the order of St. Benedict, he will go to heaven one day. Means the same promises to the scapular of the Mount Carmel, that if you die with the scapular on, you go to heaven one day. You go eventually to heaven. The same promise was given to St. Benedict. The same. So if you have the scapular on, or so you belong to the order, basically. You have not been expelled for algún crimes or for any reason. If you're part of the order when you die, you go to heaven eventually. It's one of the promises, 15 centuries old. Another promise is, he who blessed the order, the Benedictine order, so anyone who helps or bless the Benedictine order, or is benefactor, shall be blessed by God. So anyone who supports, helps, propagates, in any way, the order will be blessed by God. But there's another promise. Anyone cursing the order, persecuting the order, will be cursed by God. That was told to St. Benedict. I remind to my friends and to my enemies those things. So you don't mix with Saint Benedict. You don't enter into trouble with Saint Benedict, no? Be careful, yes. She's exorcist, you know? So it's tremendous, I promise. Anyone damaging the order in any way will be cursed by God. This is why the name Benedict means blessed. He's blessed, o sea, and what has God blessed is blessed forever. Basically, this is the meaning, no? So you cannot curse something which is blessed for Benedict. This is why it's a great commitment when we are Benedictines to follow the footsteps of our Father, no? The Benedict, to know his life and to be like him. Another promise God told Saint Benedict was that the order will be, until the end of times, will be alive, will be surviving until the end of times. And also that will play a very important role in the last battle of the church against the Antichrist. It's like that, important role in the last battle of the church. So to this promise to Saint Benedict, I think I finished, is added the promises to our congregation. Remember, we are one of the branches. So Saint Benedict, through the 15 centuries of existence, has about 9 branches of the trunk, which is Benedictine. Yeah? Those from Monte Cassino, Cassiniacus, those from Subiaco, the congregation of Subiaco, the congregation of the Olivetians, the Trappists, the Camandulens, we, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, is another branch. The German, the American congregation, the Solemnis has another branch in France, French branch. So, the promises of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus to our congregation is, they are the following. This congregation will keep the faith until the end of the world. Will keep the faith. Second, the founders will have a special grace, like that, the founders of these monasteries of this congregation. This congregation will have many martyrs and confessors of the faith. And up to now, in this moment, we don't have yet one martyr in our congregation. Our congregation was approved by Pius IX in 1848. 1848 was approved. So, I tell you, Father Muir says we must be victim souls in order to be part of this congregation, no? We have to be loving the cross. It was the theme, really, of the retreat. The love of the cross and to pay the sins of the others and to be repentant and to be atoning for our the sins of us and our the others. This is exactly what our founder wants. So you're receiving graces of repentance, that's because Father Muart, I think. Father Muart. Jean Baptista Muart is our father. His feast is June 19th. So you will have a special remembrance of our father, June 19th. Which precisely was the day I was ordained priest. So I was ordained that day, was the day of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, was the feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus that day, and also was the feast of Father Muart. We venerate him because he's only servant of God in this moment. But still, because he's the founder, and we venerate him, no? We have his image in the chapter room, and we have his constitutions, he wrote constitutions, no? So on. Let me see the Noe promise to the Father Mivart. Well, basically, the Sacred Heart of Jesus told him that was for the end of times, mainly, this order. And the Sacred Heart of Jesus said, this order must be the reference for the restoration of the religious life. Because he said, because I want these Benedictines of the Sacred Heart of Jesus to follow the best of every religious order. I want you to follow the silence of the Cartusians, the austerity of the Trappists, the poverty of the Franciscans, the doctrine of the Jesuits, the preaching and devotion of Mary to the Dominicans, and the rule of Saint Benedict. Basically, in the mind of the most sacred heart of Jesus is to have a strong religious congregation, to have the spirit of the religious orders. And the second, the last promise, the most important, in fact, the last promise, which was the most important of all, of the second heart of Jesus to the Father Mivart, is the following. I promise that I myself, or the Sacred Heart of Jesus, myself will be the novice master of the monks, of the members of the congregation, all of you also, no, included. So myself will be the novice master. So this is why I tell my monks, you have the right now to remind our Lord in your prayers. Lord, you promised to be the master, to be the spiritual director, to be the one who will lead the congregation in doctrine and everything else. So please, Lord, I am in darkness, I am in temptation, I don't know what to do. Help me to overcome this temptation, or help me to overcome the enemy. So you have the right to tell, Lord, guide me, enlighten me, tell me, give me your strength. It's why we are the Red Cross. The Red Cross is precisely our Lord, the love of our Lord, the love of the most sacred heart of Jesus, in kindling the love for the cross and the love for him through the cross. And it's empty because we have to occupy the place that our Lord left after he died. Precisely this is what our Lady of Solitude is doing. She's kneeling on the altar in place of our Lord. Our Lord is absent at that moment. Holy Saturday, he's absent. But our Lady is kneeling on the altar, replacing our Lord. On the Red Cross, precisely. She's on the Red Cross. So she's on the cross. She's being crucified. But she's the only one who remains crucified in her heart. This is the whole devotion of our Lady of Solitude that we are propagating. So all the instruments of the Passion, the Holy Face, all the enter fully in the devotion that we must have, no, as a lovers of the cross. That was the theme of the retreat, in fact. Because we receive the grace to love the cross, to be immolated on the cross, and to be the instrument of conquest for us and for many souls. In fact, in every cell, when you go to the monastery, you will find a red cross empty, because you have to occupy the cross now. You are crucified on the cross. So now we go to the ceremony. So the ceremony is basically, you are going to sign your promise. I told you it's not under Benelcin, not even Benelcin, you don't do it, but it's a solemn promise of love, of commitment, of being a child to Saint Benedict, and he will be a father to you. It's like a contract. You will sign it on the altar. It's the rule. It's the rule of Saint Benedict. when you sign vows or promises, you sign on the altar. That's why I wanted to have the Blessed Sacrament also. In the back of my mind was that. So he will be the witness. Because he's the Sacred Heart of Jesus, he promised to give you the strength to love the cross, or to lead you, even if you are a hermit in this big country. So you are going to be part of the ceremony is to ask you questions. No, the question is what do you ask? No? So you will answer. I will tell you how to answer. But it's basically to be professed brother in oblate. So the priest will ask you, do you renounce Satan? Okay, yes, I do renounce. Huh? And all his works, I do renounce. So it's like the vows of baptism. And after you sign the promise, you will tell your promise in front of the Blessed Sacrament one by one. After starting by the oldest, I will say in age. Sorry for saying doing that, but it's usually you have to ask your and one by one. You use your scapular. You have to have your scapular on, or your habit. You have the habit, you know. Maybe those who doesn't have the habit, I can borrow my habit of you. You don't have the habit. I will borrow mine. It's clean, brother, and watch it. So I can. So you will enter one by one, and you will put the arms on the shape of the cross as I've been crucified, kneel it down, and you will say in Latin, Sucipime Domine secundum eloquentum, and receive me, O Lord, according to thy promise, and let me not be confounded in my expectations. No? Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy. The Patria, Filio, Spiritus Sanctus, sicut in principio, nunc et semper, et saecula et saeculorum. Amen. So it's in the formula. I will give you the paper. One by one you will do that. And after you will sign on the altar. And after you will sign, I will myself as a priest, as a witness, for I will sign it in that moment also. And you go down the chapel, next come in, and they will do the same. It's basically that. This is to sign the paper. I just have a question.
The name we put is our civil name or the brother?
No, you put your brother name only. So your oblate name, yes. And also your last name as a reference, no? So your two oblate names and your last name. Your last name also, yes. Yes. I will put my religious name, which is Raphael. I have baptism names different, no? So yes, I will put my signature, Raphael, Father Raphael Arizaga. And I will put OSB and Order of St. Benedict. I am a monk, priest. And Oblates, after your name and your last name will be OB, lowercase B. B as
Okay.
Yes. So. O, capital O, B, lowercase b, L, because it's sí. O, B, L, O, sí.
Yes.
I am wrong. What is O?
O, B, L, S, B.
Yes, you're right. Yes.
OBLSB.
Yes, you're right. So it means Oblates of the Benedict, yes, okay. So, a beautiful ceremony, very simple ceremony. So I will ask your brother to.
Capital OBL, capital SB.
O, capital O, BL is capital, lowercase BL. And after. Uppercase SB SB SD. Yes. Okay. Brother will want to lit two candles and just to uncover the altar, and at the end I will give you the blessing with the Holy Cross, for we bring the Holy Cross, and I will give you, we will pray together the indulgence for the retreat also at the end of the ceremony. Okay.